You are listening to the Icehouse Podcast, hosting conversations with gritty Kiwi business owners and leaders and industry-leading minds.
Kia ora, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Icehouse Podcast. Today, I chat with Brett Fitzgerald. He is the co-founder of Abby L. Candles. He's based in Christchurch and has done some Icehouse coaching with Kevin D'Ambrose Smith. We talk a lot about his learnings from growing this business, starting it from scratch, having a small team, and also the power of personal development when it comes to coaching for your business, something that he didn't expect, but gained a lot from the coaching with Kevin. We talk about practically what you can expect from a coaching session with Kevin and many of the Icehouse coaches. We talk about the power of an eco-friendly New Zealand brand and bringing New Zealand products to the world. I know you'll enjoy this conversation. We'll jump into the recording now. Welcome, Brett, to the conversation. Very cool to have you with us. First question that we like to ask, tell us a little bit about yourself. What are you passionate about?
Oh, passionate about many things. I guess my biggest one is obviously business. I've always wanted to jump into that world, just never really knew how. Came from a background of hard labor, so I was working on farms prior, and then into road construction. Then I needed something more, so I started in car sales. But all the way along, I always wanted to do something with business. That's always been a passion. So that basically led me to where I am now. That would probably be the main thing. And then I guess from there, it extends out into having relationships with people and, you know, helping others on their journey as well, where I can. It's always fun to do. Might not always be the right advice, but, I guess that would be one of my main passions.
Yeah, very cool. So you always knew that you wanted to be in business. Was that something from a childhood? You just knew it was a new...
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I remember at, little school fair days, and we had to come up with product to make, and I think mine was handkerchiefs. So I had made these little handkerchiefs, and I was selling them to put little flowers on them. So I was trying to sell it to all the mums that came into school. And I think that's probably where I was like, okay, I need to do something with this. There was a skill set there that I didn't really... I never nurtured it, right? And you're always told from a young age, go get a job, play it safe, go get an education. So I kind of never really followed through with that till later on in life.
Yeah, interesting. So you knew it was in you, that sort of entrepreneurial business owner side of you. What was the aha moment for the company you've got now?
So I sat down with Ali's brother, Sam. And they are involved with a company called Manuka South. So he's part owner with his father, Rob. And he got talking one day, he's like, why don't you do beeswax candles in a jar with a fragrance? There's not many people doing it in New Zealand. In fact, there wasn't anyone doing it in New Zealand at that time.
Wow.
He had mentioned it because he was looking at doing something with one of their clients in Singapore. And they had quite a... The guy said he'd buy quite a number, a few thousand jars kind of thing off him. But Sam never went down that road because he was already so focused on what they were trying to achieve with Manuka South. He said, why don't you do it? off we went, jumped on a website, found all the testing kits and, started to make our own candles in the kitchen. Found out pretty quickly that it's not that straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
We just went from there, but that was the aha moment. That was kind of, okay, well, we're doing it then. Wow. And we haven't really looked back since.
Wow. When was that? When was the start of Abby Lee Candles?
We launched officially in 2019, but we started testing about December 2018.
Yeah.
That's when we began on the journey, really.
And for you specifically, what does a day in the life of you look like when it comes to running this business?
Yes, typically I'm up at 7 o'clock in the morning. I tried to do the you need to get up early to be successful routine. And that didn't work out. Tried the 4:30s, tried the 5 o'clock gym, didn't work
guilty,
out.
Guilty with you.
So I found what's worked. So I get up at 7 o'clock. Typically that'll be I'll do some reading. And I don't just read to find questions to answers, I read to find answers to questions. So that's the key thing there. Typically I'll read books that's not my strength. So whether it's I need to understand sales more or I need to understand marketing more.
Yep.
Which marketing leads the company first and then sales, and then it's all about culture from there. So that's what I'll do. I'll do that for a solid, probably an hour. Then I'll be making breakfast, then it's off to the gym at 9:30. Come home, clear out the emails, check in. On Mondays are usually a meeting with Kevin at some point in the afternoon. And I usually wrap everything up by about, well, to be fair, you never really truly wrap it up, but I sort of try to wind down about 5 o'clock, but there's always stuff to do. So it's typically the day spent marketing and communications with our staff members as well that are making the product. It's can be full on. Some days you feel like you're not doing enough, and some days you feel like your head's about to explode.
Oh, that is a relatable statement that you've just said to many listeners, I'm sure. Hey, you mentioned, you know, there was essentially a gap in the market. You know, there was an opportunity that came up through through a family member. Now, years on and working in the business, not just it being an idea, what would you say the purpose is behind this business? What keeps you in it?
Yeah, I think we want to bring this brand global. We are actually in the process of rebranding. We're going to have a new brand that will replace the current one that we're doing now.
Yep.
This is where Kevin's been helping us do our brand story and figure out what our, you know, what's our USP, because anyone can make a candle, anyone can do it with beeswax, anyone can throw a fragrance into it. So we're just, our purpose really is we want to bring New Zealand to the rest of the world through using, you know, New Zealand beeswax, telling the New Zealand story, the craftsmanship, the artisan luxury, all those sorts of things. So we're just in the process of getting that down pat. Then we'll hopefully be able to put a stamp on the map for Kiwis and show other Kiwis what we're capable of doing.
Yeah.
Just because we're on a little island at the bottom of the world, it doesn't mean we can't do great things.
So agree. Our country does some amazing things globally. So I love the thinking there. Words that you've just mentioned, but also all throughout your website, you know, eco-friendly, New Zealand beeswax candles crafted with perfection, you know, heart and soul. Why are these things important to you? What have you learned about them through the journey?
I think it's important to have your heart and soul in it so that by doing so, you give your consumers the best quality product you possibly can. It's important to know that, you know, you're not impacting the earth, or you're impacting it as minimal as possible while you're doing these things too. We're trying to get our footprint down so we don't have huge waste behind us. You know, then this goes into a sector of lean manufacturing and doing everything as lean as we can, so we can be more efficient in everything we do. I don't know if that really answers it properly, but
no, it does. For sure.
It's definitely important to do things ethically, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, it's cool. Could you, for those that are like, I have no idea where you'd even start with making a candle, I will put my hand up here. I have no idea. Can you share some insight into that actual process of testing, perfecting the candle, the formulas? What are the key factors that you consider in that process?
Yeah, it's we're still perfecting it.
Yeah,
You never really stop. It's there's a lot. It's science in a jar. It really is. You have to make sure that the wick is the right size. You have to make sure it's the right blend of wax. So we use a coconut beeswax blend. This is custom made in-house. This is one that I've created. It's not something you can, you know, it's not something you go to a supplier and buy. It's something we've made ourselves. So you have to make sure that the blend's right. You got to make sure that the wick burns properly with that blend. You got to make sure that you don't put too much fragrance oil in, otherwise it won't burn and it'll smoke and it'll just be an absolute mess. You got to make sure you don't put too little in because otherwise it won't smell. You got to make sure that the wick doesn't burn too hot because then it won't smell either, or it will also smoke. There's a lot of factors. You got to make sure you've got the right size jar for the combination that you're working with. It's trial and error, a lot of googling. Learned it all on Google. I mean, I don't have a clue how to make any of this stuff. So Google's your best friend in anything you do. It doesn't matter whether you're making candles or trying to build a house. I mean, you've got people that teach you how to build houses, but
it's gold.
There's always an answer somewhere. You just got to dig deep and you got to be persistent. That's the other thing. I mean, you almost have to be a little bit not all there to do what we do in business because it's not easy.
Oh, so true. I want to know how many not fails, but testing and trialing do you think you've done where it just has not gone to plan? How many candles?
Don't know about candles, but I can say hours spent. That's probably like 2,000 hours. spent trying to get it right. We've had fails along the way. We've bought out batches and I've, you know, sold them to market and they've been a complete failure. Something, one of the initial things that was happening was we were sourcing our beeswax through a mutual contact with Rob and Linda on their honey side of things, but the beeswax was quite dirty. It wasn't filtered very well. So I tore my hair out over this and got new wicks, got rid of old ones, trying to figure out why they weren't burning properly. And then I realized that there was a propolis content in the beeswax that was clogging the wicks. I spent 2 years trying to figure this one out. Wow. It was like an aha moment. I was like, that's it. So we got in properly filtered beeswax that fixed the problem. But then other problems occurred. Then it turned out the wicks we do have now, they burn too good. So, yeah, it takes hours and hours and hours and hours to get it right. And we're still down that road. You never cease to just be satisfied with what you've currently got. You've always got to look at ways to improve it.
Yeah, so true. Yeah, good advice. I want to chat a little bit about the dynamic of small teams, because I think, you know, some businesses listening will have large teams, others will have smaller teams. You are a team of four. How do you manage the different aspects of the business and work together as a team?
Yeah, now this is something I'm definitely not an expert at. I've never ran a team before, so I'm learning a lot very quickly on how to do this. I think that one of the key things is not assuming that somebody knows what they're doing understands what you're trying to put across. So we'll do a team meeting once a week. And get the communications across the board for what we're doing for the week. We'll sit down, talk about what deliveries are coming in, what's going out, what needs to be made, how sales are looking, all those sorts of things. And then we have a Facebook group chat. So anything that comes up, the chat in there and come up with a solution, or I'll go out to the workshop if I need to. So it's not, I mean, just because we're so small, it's not too hard to manage it. Ellie does all the creative stuff. She's the one that makes it look pretty, because if I try to do it, it looks like a five-year-old's just drawing it up. And so she handles that side of it, and then I handle the running everything outside of it, so the product development, ordering stuff, getting all our marketing emails and all those sorts of things written out. Yeah, but I think the key is to hire people where you need to be made redundant, if that makes sense. So, for example, if I'm in the workshop making stuff, the business isn't making money. I need to be out there doing the stuff that brings in dollars. So you gotta hire people in the areas that you don't need to be, and you need to hire people. You need to hire your weaknesses. So what I mean by that, if there's something you're not strong at,
yeah,
you find somebody who is, and let them do it.
Yeah, very good advice. On the topic of advice, if you were to go back to the start of the journey, what's a piece of advice you would give yourself? A little bit of a heads up.
Yeah, don't try to get rich too fast. Don't try to grow too quickly, and don't compare yourself to somebody else's chapter 12 when you're at chapter 1. I've done this for years. I've really only just overcome it now. It was one of my biggest insecurities, was looking at other businesses. I was like, whoa, and they weren't even in our market. Like, there's companies in America going, whoa, look at their revenue, like they've done 100 mil in 2 years or whatever. But you never have the full story. Then you find out later that actually that business went under because they weren't making money. Mm. And then you start seeing the things unfold, and you think, oh, okay, well, we're not actually that bad off. But that was a massive struggle of mine, was comparing to other people and then be like, we need to do that. Why aren't we doing this? What am I doing wrong? Maybe we're not cut out for this. Maybe this just isn't the life that I'm supposed to lead. So my biggest piece of advice was don't compare. It's the stealer of all joy.
Yeah.
And just take your time to grow and get your foundations right. If I knew what I knew now back then, I would have slowed the whole show down and made sure that the foundations were done properly. The marketing is done right. Our storytelling is done right. We're not just getting in products to try and pump more money into the business. That'd be another one for anyone that's product based. Don't diversify into too many SKUs. Just go slow.
Yeah, go slow. That is good advice. I think too many people compare or have the imposter syndrome of I'm as good as them. Go slow. Great.
Go slow at speed, if that makes sense. Be fast at your decisions, but slow down the process.
Mm. And the external stuff, the external facing things. It's okay to be working things out internally, but doesn't need to always be out there externally until it's ready. And that does take time. So great advice. Hey, what's been a highlight of the journey for you?
I think a highlight's been seeing the personal development.
Cool.
As we've gone through this. The highlight's never been we've made X amount or the business has grown to this point. That stuff, it's fun at the time, but it wears off pretty fast and you need another goal. I think the highlight for me has been growing into a better version of who I could be every day.
Right.
And seeing where that journey takes is pretty cool.
Very, very cool. I like that. What excites you about wider business? You know, you said that right at the start, you knew you were going to be in business some way or another. What excites you about this idea of the business ecosystem and opportunities that come from that?
I don't really know, to be honest. It just does. There's something about it that's cool, and it's exciting, and it takes you on journeys you never thought you were going to go on. It takes you places you didn't think you were going to go. I think it's, you know, the excitement of the opportunity and the possibility that could be is what I love about it.
Very cool. So changing gears a bit to your experience with the Ice House, if that's cool. Thanks for sharing your wisdom, by the way, as well, and your experience. I'm sure relatable to many listening, but want to hear about the Ice House for you. And first of all, how you heard of the Ice House coaching.
Yeah, now funny, I actually heard of the Ice House through my father-in-law. They had done, I think it was an owner's management program with them. It was the leadership program. It was one of them.
Yep.
And they loved it. They raved about it. And Rob had been telling me for, you know, the last 2 years, you need to go and do something with the Ice House. I was like, oh, whatever, you know, people in New Zealand don't do great things. I'm listening to these Americans and the other ones, you know, the trailblazers and that. And like I said to you over the phone, you find out that actually it's smoke and mirrors, a lot of it. So I thought, okay, well, no, we do need to talk to somebody in our backyard. So we got Kevin on board, and also there was actually this thing like, you know, I should just know what to do in business. If I don't know what to do, well, then I'm not cut out for business. And then I come to a realization that, hey, even the All Blacks have coaches and they're the best at their craft in the world. So that's when it was kind of like, okay, I do need a coach and I need to get someone on board. So I let the ego go, got Kevin on board, and he came in and flipped the house upside down, which was a good thing, and showed us where we were going wrong and where we were going good. So having him on board's been absolutely vital to keep us going, especially through a difficult period such as what the New Zealand economy is facing at the moment. So he's been a great sounding board too. So, you know, the times we're going, jeepers, the sales aren't coming in today, and you go into a headspace, ring him, and he has a way of just putting into perspective for you that it calms your thinking. Mm. So he's been awesome, and I'd highly recommend anyone to, you know, don't be afraid to empty the pockets a little bit, because it's a return on investment, and it's an investment in yourself. Mm. Ultimately, invest in yourself on these things. Don't go buy the fancy car that's going to cost you $4,000 a month. Don't go buy the fancy watches. Use that money on development, such as courses and mentors through the Ice House.
Brilliant. Practically, if someone's going, okay, yeah, but what do you get from coaching, you know, each week, each month, or from a session? Would you be able to sort of give those sorts of people an idea?
Yeah, so we initially, the first one, we sat down with Kev. He looked at our whole business practice. He helped us draw up things like cash flow reports. He helped us, you know, properly study our market, do our proper market research, because I did not do that when we first started. I was just like, bringing this out, people are either going to like it or they're not. What else? Oh, there's so much we've done. We've done, you know, what does success look like in 5 years' time? And I put a figure out there of like, that's $100 million. And then we broke it down. We're like, okay, that's probably unrealistic. Let's go back to the drawing board on what's achievable. That's sort of where we started. And then we built it out from there. Then he looked at our website, helped us optimize our website. Helped us optimize our email marketing, helped us, you know, cut costs where we didn't need to cut costs. It was a waste of money. One of those was we had a Facebook ad agency. Anyone in e-commerce that's using a Facebook ad agency, and if you're not seeing the returns, cut your losses and get out of it, because most of them aren't marketers, they're digital. They're the type of people that they know where to put your ad, but they're not necessarily marketers. So he helped us a lot with that. Some other things. Helped us get bundles on a website, which that increased our average order value by 20%. Now at the moment he's helping us with our whole brand story for our new brand, which has been really exciting, and understanding, you know, what's the possibilities around this.
Wow, that's so practical. Thanks for unpacking that. Was it quite vulnerable at the start, showing the whole business plan and model, and you know, was that quite a vulnerable thing?
No, because I thought we were doing all right. Wow, look at what we're doing, like trying to almost show off a little bit, and then he's like, nah, man, this needs to change. What are you doing? So even though I knew we needed help, I needed help for something different. And then he at the start is looking at things, I was like, what are we doing this for? I need help on this. But it kind of, once we got through about, I think it was our fourth week, I started to understand, okay, now I understand why this is all happening. And that goes back to what I was talking about foundations. So yeah, I didn't find him, I wasn't intimidated to let him into the business.
It's very cool to hear that, you know, you went in for one thing and you got so much more out of it, to be honest. It sounds like great value. And also Kevin's just such a good guy. He's so down to earth. He's so relatable. Good person to have on the team, that's for sure.
Well, he's been there too, you know. He's been in the trenches. He understands what it's like to own a business. And he's, you know, he's lived through the GFC as well, which was not a fun time for anyone in business at that time.
Yeah.
And now we're going through what we're going through now. He's been really good helping us through this. Just rate him. He's good.
That's cool. Right at the start, you said you were, seeking coaching for something else. Were there any hesitations for you jumping into the coaching in the first place or not really?
The only aspect was the money aspect. And that's where I'd done my thought process of, well, I went and bought a car that I could have spent that money on coaching, which would have been way more beneficial. I mean, a car's never going to return my money. I went through that thought process. I thought, well, what have we got to lose? We can only grow and learn from this. So,
yeah. Cool. And I like what you said again about actually having these incredible coaches and thought leaders right in our backyard, right here in New Zealand. I think, we're all guilty of looking externally to, global minds and American successful businesses and all that sort of stuff. But man, we've got some heavy hitters here in New Zealand.
Yeah, we sure do. I don't think Kiwis are typically pretty modest, right? Yeah. We don't talk about our wins often. We're very different to say in America. They have to be loud and noisy because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
So that's what we hear is like, okay, well, these guys are the ones to go with because they're the ones doing well. Then you start talking to people like Kevin and you find out who he's surrounded, the people that he's surrounded by. And they've done it. They've done a lot of stuff that you hear the Americans talk about. So our talent is in our own backyard and you'd be amazed at what's there.
So true. Yeah, so true. Cool. Hey, I want to hear a bit about the future for you guys. What does the future of the brand, the company look like? What excites you about that?
Yeah, so we are changing our brand. It's going to be called Abel.
Cool.
And that's going into more the luxury sector. So it's an exciting time, but it's also a scary time because it means our prices are going up by quite a substantial amount. But what's exciting about it is the journey that we've undertaken with it. Learning, learning storytelling, learning branding, learning, how we can sell this into Australia and America and eventually the UK, and learning the distribution side of it. All those things are things as valuable skill assets that you need to know. So if we didn't go down this road, we would have still been stuck in the mind of let's just do e-commerce and let's just do it with a spring. That was actually something else that Kevin woke us up to. He said, you've got to get into wholesale. That's when we realized that, hey, we're not making the margins that we need to be in this business to do that. So that's kind of why we're heading the direction we're heading. But it allows, it's just, there's a lot more opportunity that will open up from this. It's a scary move, but if it scares you, you should do it.
Oh, I'm excited for you guys. I think that's going to be a really great move. Did you say Abel is the new name?
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. Very, very cool. And close, so it's a cool next step for you guys as a company.
Yeah, we wanted to show that we're a new brand, but without alienating ourselves so that people that were familiar with Abel, they weren't completely confused, like, well, you've completely changed your brand and everything. I don't know who you are anymore. So we still wanted to carry some of those traits over. And that was the best way we could do it.
Looking forward to seeing it out in the wild, that's for sure. I know there'll be a lot of hard work going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Hey, loved hearing your story. And one thing that really stuck out to me that you said was, a highlight being actually the personal development that you've received from owning a business and running a business. I think that's a really interesting point. There's lots of highs, but that, like you said, they don't last long. But the personal development sticks with you. And I just thought I wanted to point out that I thought that was a really cool part of the podcast that you mentioned. Personal development cannot be undervalued, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, the key with personal development is if I lost everything tomorrow, I've got that. Yeah. And I've learned so much that I can make it happen with something else. So, I think the key takeaway for anyone listening is invest in your own skill and your own asset because it's always there with you.
Yeah, Brilliant. Hey, Brett, thank you so much for your time, for sharing the story, and excited to see what is coming next for you and the team. So appreciate you and you having you part of the Ice House community.
Thanks for having me, Brian.